Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live at State Farm Arena where tonight it goes down. Our Atlanta Hawks still have a pick in the first round as we speak. That could change between now and 6:30 when we get off with this show tonight. But as of right now, we still do have a first-round pick. But, Mike, as we left the show last night, the big news, not just here in the ATL, but around the NBA, the Hawks trading for Kristaps Porzingis. A big trade. Look, the name and the brand is huge. I just don't know, as Mike and I have been discussing, Day-Day's here with us down at the arena, Dom back at the studio. What kind of impact can Porzingis truly have with this particular Hawks team and the makeup of what we know it's going to be?
Yeah, I know a lot of guys last night were, dare I say, lukewarm on the trade when the news dropped. Basically, it's kind of a one-year deal, one-year audition. If he can stay healthy, it's funny because for months, anytime a name would come up named Zion, people would go, we got to get him. And the old argument that Carl and I always threw back at him is he can't stay healthy. Well, over the last 3 years, you know, Kristaps Porzingis has missed about as many games as Zion Williamson. So that's one where, you know, if you're talking about an above-the-rim player that maybe gives a little juice. And granted, we do have Jalen Johnson coming off the injury. But for some folks, you're like, this guy can't really do anything around the rim. You know, he's not a rim protector. He can grab some boards. I think he averages like 6.5 boards a night. But he's one of these guys who, you know, he's out of the three-point line. So, you know, he was part of a rotation of stars between Brown and Tatum. I mean, he gets his shots and he scores. And you'll see how the dynamic plays with Trey. I mean, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm glad they're trying something. But I'd be very curious now to see what the next move is and how much of the money they maximize, Carl, to supplement this move.
They still have a $25 million exemption that, as I said yesterday in the show, is separate of anything that's going to happen tonight. Well, you know, trade and bring in a vet guy that could truly help this team. Who that target is, we don't know. But as far as Porzingis is concerned, look, he's a 20-point guy over the last two seasons. Mike's right. He can score. Those are the positives. The negative is, I think, Mike, you're dealing with a guy that's going to have and need a lot of load management. He's not playing all the time, every night. He's not playing all the minutes. Now, you're going to say, well, who in the NBA is? The point is, you're going to have to pick your spots based on his injury history of when you want to play him and how much you're going to play him. As far as whether he comes in and he's a starter, I would tell you after losing the pieces we lost last night in Terrence Mann and Niang, the good news is we did keep Caris LeVert, right? LeVert's still here, and I love his game. But you need scoring off the bench. And I still think there's a chance, based on the minutes that we're talking about, limited minutes, and how you're going to use Porzingis, he may be your guy to come off the bench along with Caris LeVert, Mike. Right. And all of a sudden now you've got a little tandem and a combo that you can use, and it doesn't mean you don't end the game with him. Guys, I've always been told your starting five is the last five guys on the floor with 5 minutes left in the game. That's your starting five because those are the guys that are going to finish a game. I'm just saying I don't know if he comes in here and is as dominant as some people already have assumed that he may be and what his role is going to be. I will say this. Trae Young's probably smiling somewhere because if you hit an open Porzingis in the corner, more than likely it's good. He can't shoot the three, and he's shooting it at a high clip, Mike, 41% three-point shooter with the Celtics. But that's with the Celtics.
Right. If you could take John Collins and him and put them together – you know, that's kind of a nice piece, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, athleticism, transition, pick and roll, and the outside shot that John Collins could never consistently master. That was always my argument about giving him the contract extension. So we'll see. It's just the first step. One thing I think a lot of Hawks fans didn't realize is how much Terrence Mann was getting paid. Not an astronomical number, but $15 million is too much for Terrence Mann. Get that off the books the next couple of years, and that frees up some cash to do some of the things I think Hawks fans expecting this team to do. You know, we did talk about it, Larry Nance Jr., something Bob Rathbun brought up, you know, and you do have, you got Mo Gay, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, we do technically have some size there, but does it evolve and get better in addition to what you got with Porzingis, or do you still try to get some more length tonight in the draft at 13, since you traded your 22nd?
Correct. And that's really the question, as we're going to talk to Anse Sala, guys, general manager for Atlanta Hawks. He's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour, and we're excited about it because hopefully he gives us some insight into some of the things that we're talking about, team building, development, the injury update on some of these guys coming back, including Jalen, and then you talk about what they're going to do tonight. Now, look, I'll tell you guys right now, there's no way, and I'd love him to come on the show and say, hey, here's who we're picking at 13. But he's not going to do that because we may not even keep that pick. He may ultimately trade that pick before the draft starts tonight at 8 o'clock.
Right.
We will find out. Here's where I'm at, though, and we want to hear from you, 404-726-0929. You can text us, find Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Porzingis can't help this team. But with that said, are you concerned like we are that the injuries that have racked up over the last few years, specifically when he left Dallas, hurt. Gets to the Wizards in a trade, hurt. Last year, hurt. He didn't play but 42 games last year, guys. So, and that's, you know, you're talking about a team that was built for a championship. I just feel like that's the number one concern. But when he's healthy and on the floor, there's no debating Porzingis will be able to help this team.
Right. Since we went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's why we get back to the issues. You're right, man. 51 games in 21, 34 games. Yeah, it's just you kind of sit there and you go, yeah. It's a little underwhelming. 57 and 42 the last 2 years. I like it. If this guy was, you know, a little bit more of a player in the paint, you know what I mean, as far as the defensive aspect, which is something we need.
Yeah.
That's why I was banging the drum for guys like Naz Reid or Miles Turner. And that's pie in the sky. They're likely going to, you know, sign with their own team. We're going to find out. And we'll try to get something out of Anse Sala. He did say that he's, I mean, at least for the way he answered the question, he's committed to Trey. You know, and knowing that Trey's going to have the opportunity to opt out. But as you said, Trey's probably pretty excited because, you know, healthy or not, this is one of the best players he's had on his team.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I'm curious to see if he shoots 40% clip from the three for us because he had so many shooters in Boston where right. The floor was spread, and that was their philosophy. That's not our philosophy, right? We run, but that we're not shooting threes like Boston. Nobody shot as many threes this season than the Boston Celtics. So my point is, guys, like, you couldn't leave your guy in Boston, right?
Right.
And when they did, now I'm kicking it to Porzingis, and he's wide open because you had all the perimeter players that could shoot threes. And, oh, by the way, a guy named Al Horford could also
right.
shoot them. So I just feel like their makeup is a little bit different. But if you're telling me, like, Quinn Snyder is going to come in this season and go, look, Jalen, shoot more threes. Double O, we saw you shoot threes last year. I need you to shoot more. Trey, do you? Dyson, shoot more threes. Now you're playing Celtics-style basketball. That's a different deal.
But is that – I don't even know what how Quinn uses this guy, to your point.
That's where I'm going.
That's why when we had this conversation, like, was it 3 weeks ago when the Knicks were sniffing around wanting to talk for Quinn Snyder? I'm like, why not? You know, I mean, I know they don't have to go start from scratch in the coaching department, but it's not like we've gotten out of the play-in with Quinn Snyder. What do you want to cover? The injuries and everything else. So, you're right. The style. How much has it changed? Do we hold on to this pick tonight? You know, are we going to go for an athletic big? Do we move him? Do we package it? Are there more trades in the offing? Free agency? Using all the money? I mean, it's funny because this was literally a move that was, in its typical Atlanta sports fashion, there was no unanimity on this with Porzingis last night. Either people loved it or they hated it last night on social media.
Yeah, and look, here in the Hawks' defense, as I said today, for everybody, and I've talked to a lot of people who have been like, they're not completely sold on it. But those are the same people that complain about the Hawks never doing anything.
I saw your tweet. And that's the,
never doing
and
anything.
I love it. If you miss it, you can explain it, but yeah, there's a risk in everything. And sit on your ass and do nothing. We've been doing that. We haven't gotten anywhere.
That's right.
I think no risk it, no biscuit on this.
Well, my example was ask any of the teams that have traded for Kevin Durant over the last 4 years. You don't think that, you know, everybody was like, you have to attempt to do something. And so from that standpoint, I will defend the Hawks in saying I like the fact that Sala is being aggressive and he's trying to pull off some of these deals. I don't think he's done. I think this is the start of what may be an interesting offseason, guys, and that includes what may happen down the road with our star. I don't know, but I do like the fact that he's taking some chances. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. It is big news in the NBA with the NBA draft tonight. We're going to spend plenty of time on it. Lauren Williams is going to join us from the AJC, AJC.com. She covers the Hawks on a daily basis. We're also going to have another NBA expert, Nick Friedel, who stops by, and he'll break down the bigger picture, guys. Right. So a lot of draft conversation today here at State Farm Arena. Meanwhile, what about these Braves?
They own the Mets. I mean, they own the Mets. And last night, watching that game, I was saying to myself, man, there's missed opportunities and more horrible at-bats, which leave you screaming at the television. And then all of a sudden, they finally get to the Mets bullpen. And the Mets bullpen has been an unmitigated disaster.
It has.
And so, once again, you saw some of this here at Truist Park last week, and then it happened again last night. If you didn't see the game, starting pitcher was making his first appearance in a while after some rehab starts. And certainly for a while, he looked really darn good. And the Mets were really, I mean, the Mets were getting what they wanted from Montas. And then they finally get him out of the box after five innings. And Brazoban did the same thing here.
He did.
Hot garbage. Castillo, they were just an absolute mess. We did get to see Dickie Lovelady.
He showed up last night. You brought it up yesterday on the show. He showed up.
But last night, Iglesias, you know, it's never easy. Always going to be something going on, right, with Iglesias coming in. But I'm with Carl. We really don't really have that closer when you're going back and forth from guys like Lee or Dodd or Iglesias. But, hey, you still won 7-4, and the Mets haven't beat you this year.
That's what's crazy. Out of all the things that have happened this year, the team that looks like they're running away with the division can find a way to beat us, which is great. Look, we now have done something I did not feel like was going to happen between now and the start of July. Everything single digits, guys.
Right.
9.5 behind the Phillies, 8 behind the Mets now, 6 behind the wild card. Now we're getting into that doable range of, after the All-Star break, can we get ourselves together and be consistent? And if we can, and oh, by the way, credit and kudos to Matt Olson. He's coming. He is starting to heat up, and boy, we need it. I said yesterday, can anybody else help Ronald Acuna? Olson seems like he's starting to heat up. We're going to need all of that, Mike, but this is the good news, guys. The Mets right now, and you know, it's funny. We talk about the Phillies being in our heads. I think we're in the Mets' heads right now. They've struggled specifically against us. We're 5-0. We'll let you hear Brian Snicker coming up on the show about being 5-0. But the bottom line is, Mike, they have no way or can't find a way to beat us. 9 walks last night, by the way, for the Mets. They walked 9 Braves last night.
Same thing they were doing down here at Truist. And Strider with 8 strikeouts. You know, he did struggle at times. But, hey, man, we know that you know, the Mets got some home run pop in that lineup. And the ability to get the ball out of the infield. I still thought last night a nice sign for Ozzie Albies. And that was, he got the ball, Carl, out of the infield.
Yes,
Ozzie did. And it was a sack fly. And the way he's been popping out to short, I'll take it. So that was a shot in the arm. But if you could ever figure out Harris and Ozzie, you know, and Ozuna's kind of cooled off a little bit too, then I think we'll be in a good place.
I'm with you. We got work to do, though. We're coming back. We've got the daily download on the way. We're live at State Farm Arena, guys. 404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. We just got word of another rumor that's out there. You know, I don't start them. I just talk about them once they're out. You may or may not like this one either. We'll tell you what the rumor is when we come back on Sports Radio 92.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Nine the game.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about you. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, man. We're live at State Farm Arena. Mike and I are, like, going at each other. Not at each other, but going at some of these ludicrous tweets out there. That, listen, it's just like the NFL draft. There are going to be a lot of things that are said that are just not true or a little bit off base or completely off base. So as we get ready for the draft tonight, and we said to you guys, if you're just joining us, Kristaps Porzingis, the trade and what it is and what it means for the Hawks, and we're going to talk to our general manager coming up a little bit later on in the show, that's a big deal. But a lot of these rumors, and Mike and I just saw one, and Day-Day, I want to bring you into this, because Day-Day looked at us and said, can this be potentially true? So what is the rumor? Because we need to dispel this real quick.
Before you guys take it and run with it.
Correct, because you're going to see it or you might hear about
it. We already got guys on the text line asking us about it.
And you're like, oh, well, I heard the Hawks are going to try to get Paul George. Slow your roll. Give me this rumor.
All right, it says breaking. The Atlanta Hawks are seriously targeting the number 3 pick from the 76ers. Atlanta and Philadelphia are discussing a Paul George and the number 3 pick to Atlanta. And this is by Adam Beverly, his Twitter handle, Adam Beverly ESPN.
Mm. All right, I don't believe you, Adam. Paul George and the number 3 pick. So let's just talk about this because, look, there's rumors going to be out there. I'm not telling you that our general manager in our front office is not working to maybe do something else on top of what they did to get Porzingis here last night. But, Mike, Paul George is making a ridiculous amount of money, and I just want Hawks fans to think about this. You just shedded more salary.
Right.
To avoid getting into the apron, we've yet to use our $25 million exemption on a player, which, again, that's coming down the road. Why would you take on a guy that's making over 50-some-odd million dollars a year and right. Paul George, who's broke?
Right, who's a bust.
Okay.
And he was an absolute bust this year and broke down for the Sixers. And, guys, I just think you got to kind of – and we fall victim to it ourselves. A lot of nonsense out there. Doesn't make any sense. No rhyme or reason. Same guy was reporting that we're going to move up to 3. So we're going to trade to the Sixers and go get Ace? I mean, come on. I got to call shenanigans on that one. So, as we said, I mean, but this is – we deal with this – you said earlier, deal with the same stuff when it comes to the NFL.
All the time.
A lot of nonsense out there, so check your sources.
Now, I will say this. If I'm the Sixers, I'm trying to move on from Paul George,
too.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, if you can get anybody dumb enough to take his contract,
Because that's a mistake. Daryl Morey should have never signed him. He's 34 years old, but we're talking about $54 million, then a player option for $56 million at 27. Hawks aren't looking to do that. They have to sign their own. You have to understand, Dyson Daniels is doing an extension. You're going to have to figure out what Trey is going to do and where that's going. Even if you don't do it this year, that's got to be thought about. Like, this makes no sense. So let's just – I'm putting that on hold, guys, as we talk about it, but there are a lot of stuff out there that's going to be, you know, said, and it's not just true. It's not going to be true. Us moving into the top 5, we'll ask the general manager, Mike. We'll see if he says, hey, yeah, look, we're trying to get up there. But you need a trade partner. Even if we want to do that, you're still going to need a trade partner, and it's got to make sense for us.
Right. And, again, we've talked about, Kaman Malawach from Duke.
Yes.
I'd love a piece of that.
Big
but,
man.
You know, that requires getting up to 5 or 6, because based on the mock drafts out there, the lowest he goes is maybe 7 to the Pelicans.
All right, man. Plenty more to dive into. Hope you guys are having a great day. We're live at State Farm Arena down here. More on Porzingis coming up as well. My man back at the studio, Dominator, he is our engineer. Let's get to the daily download.
Story number 1.
It is our Braves, guys. They've won 5 games from the Mets so far. And after winning last night, well, look, this is a 4-game set. You're feeling pretty good about this series. And Snit was asked about why we've had the success against the Mets that we've had.
I don't know. I mean, it's just we're playing good baseball against them. You know, we got down today and then came back today and back and thought Montas threw the ball really well for first time back. And so it was just kind of good to kind of pile on that one inning. And then the add-on runs obviously are big, too.
Yeah, we talked about it. You're getting them out of the box. Get to that Mets bullpen, and I just think, you know, the Mets bullpen, man, they every time that door opens, Mets fans are like, oh, God, no. You know, it's, and we know what that's like at times, Braves fans. And the other thing last night, I thought that, you know, Strider, the only inning where he kind of got sideways was that bottom of the fourth where he had, I think it was 3 walks in that inning. And it was like, oh, and you could tell he was like, oh, boy. That was a bit frustrating. McNeil hits that sac fly to left. That scored Soto. Batty with a single. But, you know, then he gets the punch out on Mauricio. But that was about it. It was also kind of funny to see Kyle and I were talking about this earlier when Soto was mean mugging the ump for a strike in the low middle part of the plate. And as he's heading to the dugout, Soto's going, it's right down the middle of the plate. It's right down the middle of the plate.
Right.
It's right down the middle. You know, as he's,
sure.
And he's yelling at Soto as he's heading to the dugout. I love it. That's what we like to see. Even Matt Olson is showing emotion. If there's any correlation with his surge, he's been killing it too.
We need that. We're going to need the emotion.
So some.
We're going to need the hitting, all of that. Speaking of Matt Olson, Snicker also talked about Olson putting things together right now.
It's been really, really good what he's done. I mean, I just look at, you know, how he ended up last year and had a slow start, went through some tough times, but ended up having a really good, really good year. And he's putting together another really good year this year and then plays gold glove defense.
Yeah.
He tried to turn that double play the other night.
He did. I think, Mike, through all the struggles, you know, we talked about Olsen. And first of all, it's unfair. It's natural, but it's unfair for us to compare him to Freddie because Freddie's just Freddie. But if he hits and does some of the things we saw in that first season with him and he's able to get the numbers up, Mike, and more importantly, drive in more runs and home runs, I'll be fine with Olsen. I just need some of these guys, man, that they're 100 RBI guys that are just not producing like right. that.
And again, and just be clutch when the season's on the line. That's the one thing. The one thing you can't quantify with WAR or any of the other metrics you use is, you know, is Freddie just passes the eye test some of those moments. We'll see. 2023, the whole team just got ice cold.
Correct.
Against Philly. We don't have to rehash that. But he's doing a great job. As we said, he and Acuna are killing it. I think Austin Riley, I think it was interesting. CJ Nitkowski, I said on the broadcast, was talking about, you know, he's got to maybe do a little bit better when he's ahead of the count, talking about Austin Riley. But
yeah,
he's still batting 270. You know, he'd like to see the average come up a little bit. But Riley's getting it together. Ozuna's kind of been a little cool by his standards of late. And we already said it. Ozzie, we're just happy to see Ozzie get a ball that goes outside the infield. You know, and he had a sack fly last night. And then that Money Harris stat that came up 2 days ago, we talked about it with Grant yesterday, where he never gets a full count.
Yeah.
He never goes deep in the count. And that's like, man, you got to – that's hard to figure wrap your head around. And that, of course, was why he was never suited to be a leadoff hitter, because he never works the count.
Snit, what about running Strider back out there, man? Because, look, Strider, remember, guys, he couldn't win. Like, he was 0 for 3, 0 for 4 in these starts. Some of that had to do with the hitting. But Snit was asked about running him back out there last night.
You know, he kind of, that inning kind of got away from him a little bit. And then he regrouped in the fifth. I was going to run him back out there, but we were in the dugout so long, I just didn't feel like that was the right thing to do, is have him sit there that long.
Hey, right, man, look, when he's pitching like he can, we know Spencer Strider is special. He's must-see TV. And so I think he's getting back to that, Mike. The confidence is getting up.
Velocity's way up. You know.
Yes.
And as we said, you know, when he was struggling to reach 95 and 96, that was the high end. And now you're watching him creep back to 98. It's like, wow. Okay. So that's good. So maybe, as I said to you a few weeks ago, he's going to have to learn to readjust to the new Spencer. No. And if you keep doing that, then he's the old Spencer.
Yeah, I just
want to see a little more. But, again, for a longevity to have, you know, three or four pitches, you know, in your holster is a pretty good thing.
My argument just was that he just wasn't back. Everybody expected him to come back and be what we're seeing now.
Right. Took five or six games to get
correct.
Right.
That was my only argument. Like, he's not back. And when you're not, he wasn't helping us. By the way, the back and forth between him and Soto, let's play it. Let's play it, Dominator.
Strider had some things to say after Soto.
Can't hear it with the background, right down the middle.
Yeah.
Right down the middle.
Yeah.
Right down the middle.
I love it. I love it. And by the way, look, Soto's a great player.
Right.
But, you know, as I've said, give me Ronald Acuna any day, every day, every day of the week. And I think he's a better player. But with that said, I like the attitude. This is what we've needed and what we've been clamoring for.
Right.
When we said,
got
to pull yourself out of this.
Just some juice, right? Guys, I don't want to get on that whole analytical thing. And it's just some things you just cannot find with statistics. You can't quantify it. You just need to have that edge. Some teams have it and play with it. You know, we've talked about the Phillies, how they've got it. The Padres and Dodgers have it. Talked about that with Tony Gwynn Jr. the other day. So hopefully, again, this is – they get it. They whittle it down now, as you said, a manageable number in the wild card. You know, the Phillies now asserting themselves. Mets are hearing it, by the way. Even more pressure. But, of course, tonight, you know, you got to go with another, you know, young pitcher for the Braves, right? You got to go with, is it Didier Fuentes?
Yeah, Fuentes, 20 years old. He started, and like I said, I didn't think he was terrible the other night.
I wanted him to go get some support and take some pressure off him.
He needed some
run
support
there in Miami. They didn't do that.
No.
But there's some things, elements to his game that you like, and hopefully they do it. Clay Holmes, by the way, has been pretty good for the Mets, 7-4. He's on the bump tonight.
All right, man. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
NBA draft tonight. Hawks have the 13th overall pick. We had 13 and 22. We traded 22 along with a deal to go get Porzingis, guys, but we do have that 13th overall pick. And the good news is, again, we could keep it or we could package it and do something else tonight. We're going to have to wait and see how this shakes out. Mike, is there a specific guy that you – I know you want a big –
I do want a big, and I think, you know, we talked about John Berenger. He's 18, so he's young, but I don't know, they have him over here. Derek Queen from Maryland, you and I talked about him. Those guys could be there at 13. And we talked about Malawach. He's likely not there at 13. Some guys feel Derek Queen won't be there at 13 either.
Yeah.
I know Asa Newell I still want Asa. I wish Asa Newell goes back in school. To me, that's a biscuit that's not ready. Got to go back in the oven. But Asa Newell is a guy that some guys have talked about. Unless they're going to go with there's Thomas Sorber from Georgetown, something we talked about earlier. 6'9.5" That's I'd love to get that
seven footer.
The 7-footer is what I want.
7-footer.
And then there's if you get in the second round again, I don't know if we do that. There's an Australian guy who looks like everything I want. Just a giant mauler, has no outside jump shot. Don't want him leaving the paint. But anyway, we'll get into some of the other names later in the show when we talk to Anse Sala about it.
All right, guys, speaking of the draft, Cooper Flagg expected to be the number one overall pick. I want you to hear Brian Scalabrine talk about the comp between Flagg and LeBron James.
LeBron James. He's just not an F1 racer. LeBron is 260, fast, 4.440, head above the rim. Cooper Flagg's not a bad athlete. He's a good athlete. He's a great athlete. LeBron's a super athlete. But they process the same. I know it's unfair, but I'll eventually be right. People will know. Like 3 years from now, they'll be like, oh, yeah, Scal said it. If he has the same longevity, I'm just giving you a comparison of what he could be, but not you can't look at 50,000 points and championships and any of that stuff. There's some variable to that. But LeBron has scored 50,000 points, doesn't have a go-to shot. I'm not sure he has a go-to shot. He's just a basketball player that makes things happen. LeBron's a freak of nature defensively. He's a freak of nature defensively. LeBron can run point. He can run point. 6'8 point guard, 6'8 point guard, like, He trends like that more than a shooting guard or a Kawhi Leonard or anything like that. And it's just he doesn't want to say it, but that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, and I don't disagree right. with Scalabrine. I mean, like the accolades, the milestones, that's all separate. The skill set that he's bringing to the NBA is very similar. But that doesn't mean in you know his second or third year that he's taking his team to the NBA Finals like LeBron did in Cleveland with nobodies.
Right.
That's why LeBron has always been different and special, and everybody in the league knew it. But I do think that there's a lot of upside to Cooper Flagg, Mike, and I like his game. And here's the deal. We were clowning LeBron, and rightfully so, because it's like, oh, look what he's getting and look what I had coming into the league. But to put him with those vets, right. if everybody is healthy in Dallas, that's a big deal because there's no pressure. You got AD, a 30-a-night guy. You got Kyrie, one of the best ball handlers and creators in the league. Like, you don't have to do all the things like LeBron felt he had to do going into Dallas if in fact, that's going to be the pick, and we all think it is.
I know we had that 22nd pick for us, and we don't have it now. That's part of the man trade to get to Kristaps Porzingis down here. So we'll see. I know that we don't have a second-round pick, Carl.
We don't.
You know, because those all got traded. But there's a big Australian, the guy that I was mentioning to you the other day, found the name, Rocco Zakarski.
Rocco!
No perimeter game whatsoever. 7'3". 5 points on average. If you want to go, then we want to trade back into the second. That's my unicorn for tonight.
All right.
I've been asking Carl for a guy with no vowels in his name. Well, this guy's got
one
vowels.
Eyebrow.
One eyebrow.
Yeah.
And this guy fits the bill. Big mutant geek from Australia. That's what I want. But we don't have a second round pick.
All right, man. Coming up live from State Farm Arena, does the Porzingis trade do or say anything about the future of Trae Young? We'll discuss next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're down here live at State Farm Arena. Draft party night, baby. And hopefully we make some noise. Maybe we make a couple of splash moves as well. By the way, Nick Friedell is going to join us coming up next hour. Give us the full layout. We'll get his thoughts, Mike, on some of these guys that you're talking about in this upcoming draft. Also, we'll talk some NFL, guys. I think shots have been fired. And maybe he wasn't lying when he told us what actually happened when he flew halfway across the country. We'll tell you about that coming up. What does the Porzingis trade say for the future of the Hawks or for Trae Young? Or does it, Mike? Do you think it has anything to do with where they're going with this?
I mean, 1 year, 30 years old. I mean, guys are playing longer now, later into their careers in the NBA because you're just making too much money to retire. But, you know, the health concerns are the main red flag for me, like everybody else who's been a little bit funky on this, is, you know, what does he do in the paint? Well, that's not his game. You know, he's a big as we said, he's going to pop out. I mean, yes, he can score in the paint. Yes, you could technically do a pick and roll. You can do some of that stuff, but not to the level of some of the other names you and I have talked about. Could it be a one-year audition? or 1 year, and then, you know, what's a further contract for him look like? Does that give Trey, as you said earlier in the show, a happy face? And now Trey feels, hey, they're trying. Because even with the injury history, Kristaps Porzingis is the most solid piece he's ever had next to him.
That's true.
Since he's been here. Maybe other than a healthy Jalen Johnson or John Collins.
I don't know if it has anything to do with Trey, guys. And listen,
it might not.
I don't look. This is just where I'm at. I think what they wanted. Look, they're trying to help Trey. First of all, you've got to project that. And the general manager Anse Salah said that their future is focused with Trey being here. You've helped him. You've gotten more scoring. You've gotten a better shooter, right? Mm. Certainly a better 3-point shooter who spreads the floor. But I don't know if that has anything to do with the future of what Trey Young is going to be here, or if he's going to be here. Like, just because you brought in Porzingis doesn't mean that they still might not try to move Trey, Mike, here between now and the end of this deal, the end of his contract. I don't know if those things go hand in hand.
I mean, the big money for Trey, and I think a lot of guys, we had that conversation earlier in the week, and some people are on the text line like, what? Yeah, man, over $300 million. You know, the Supermax, potentially. And if it's just a regular extension, it's about $225. So is Tony Ressler, and again, we can't put words in the general manager's mouth. We'll try to get it out of him as best we can. He was kind of playing it close to the vest, talking at Hawks practice the practice facility the other day. But if you're not getting anything done with Trey and you're not getting out of the play-in game, why would you invest $300 million and more in a guy? Or do you say, as many fans do every time we go down this road, he's never had the stars around him? A Jalen Johnson with Kristaps Porzingis, Dyson Daniels, you know, Reece Oshae continuing to develop, obviously Okongwu, you know, got to kind of restock some of the bench. You bringing LeVert back, by the way?
I am. I feel like they're going to.
It's a good nucleus in a very topsy-turvy Eastern Conference year.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Who's scoring off the bench?
You don't have a lot of that.
Bogey's not here anymore. Who's scoring off the bench?
You need, and at 21, it was Bogey and Gallinari and all those guys. You don't have anything like that on this roster.
It's as if, and again, you're telling me, all right, Kobe Bufkin's coming back, and yes, but with Jalen's a starter, guys. He's going to be in the starting lineup. Reece Oshae got more run because Jalen was injured. So you're telling me Reece Oshae, the number one pick in the draft last year, is not starting? He's starting.
Right.
I just feel like you've got to be able to have that second team, that 8 or 9 deep, Mike, that you can go to that you feel comfortable with. And right now, I don't know without Caris LeVert being here. You can offer. Right. If I'm the Hawks, if I'm on say, I'm trying to bring him back. He's a guy that you don't have to run plays for. Quinn knows this. You put him out there, he makes stuff happen. He can take you off the dribble. He can shoot. And he plays defense. He was an improved defensive presence for this team, especially for when he was on the floor. It makes no sense, and he's not going to break the bank. It makes no sense for me that you don't try to bring him back. But if you don't, maybe they have a plan to go get a similar kind of player who may be less expensive.
Right. And that was my beef last night. I said, hey, man, if we can restock the bench and Porzingis stays healthy. I mean, there's ifs, and as we said to start the show, I mean, there's got to have some degree of risk. Maybe this guy wasn't the first name on your list, but, I mean, the price is actually not bad. You got Mann's contract off the books for the next 2 years. But Yang was a nice piece, you know.
Yep.
You know, we joked around, the minivan was his nickname. And the guy was kind of a good role player, good guy on the squad. But that's the kind of worker bees you're going to have to replace. Is there another big name in the offing, you know, using the DeJounte extension to go come in here and do it? I mean, are we going to see them trade? Are they going to hang on to 13 or trade 13? Could there be another trade in the works? You know, we talked about, you know, my obsession, I think you agree, to get a real big. But now with Porzingis, you can bring a big along who can develop.
You can. You can. And by the way, I think everybody assumes Capella's gone, right? That's kind of the assumption.
Right.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't heard. We'll ask Anse Sal about it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. And I know you're going to say, well, why keep Clint Capella? Because Capella does something completely different than Porzingis does. He's not the guy that's going to be shooting threes.
No, he grabs boards, man. He grabs boards.
They're two different players. So if you're trying to complement your roster and say, okay, even if Clint's not a starter, Mike, even if you want to still start Okongwu right now, we don't know if that changes with the draft, you still need a guy like that who can rebound and run the break and run pick and roll for you. 404-726-0929. And I think the bigger question here is, guys, do you want Trey? We've asked this question for 3 years on this show. And I got to tell you, it's going back and forth. 3 years ago, it was, yeah, you guys are crazy. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. Then we've been in this damn play-in, and now some of you guys have changed your mind and been like, I don't know if we can win with Trey.
Right.
Do you want Trey here? And if you do, then you're like the Hawks, and you're going to try to do everything around him that you possibly can to make this team viable. And that is why I do like the Porzingis trade. It does improve our three-point shooting. There's no debating that. And, guys, we know this. It's a three-point league now. You need guys that can knock down threes. I want to know, you know, everybody wants to talk about, oh, well, you know, look at OKC. Mm-hmm. OKC knocks down, they're not a three-point shooting team specifically or exclusively,
right.
But, Mike, they had three-point shooters on that team that when they needed threes, they could go to it. And then you had one of, if not the best creators in SGA who could do anything he wanted to do.
Right, and the only, probably one of the few guys in the league that hit a mid-range jumper. You know, I mean, no one else seems to be able to do that. You know, granted, he is Canadian. Maybe Canadian. Is it CAU, not AAU up there? But anyway, so somebody up there taught him a mid-range jumper. If only the AAU coaches could learn that down here and a little bit of defense. You know, maybe some American kids might go for those European guys. But we'll see. I do know that the Trae Young argument gets people so fired up. Some guys say it's time to turn the page. Other guys say, how can you truly evaluate this guy when he's never, ever had the star with it? Now, Porzingis is the best, like it or not. Healthy or unhealthy, that's the best player that he's played with until Jalen Johnson can give you those full seasons we're looking for.
No, I don't disagree with that. Because Porzingis came into the league with a lot of expectations. And even in New York, guys, he's good. He was good
in
Dallas.
He was scoring. He just didn't – him and Luka didn't laugh at the same jokes. Luka got him
He was good in Dallas. Goes to Boston. He was good for these last two seasons and got a ring. I mean, like, it wasn't like he didn't play and help them do that. So, I agree with that. I think this is probably the best player, established player, that he's had to play with.
Right. Now, what else are we going to do? See, that's the thing. You know, and do we have to – Ansa Sal did not eliminate or did not rule out, and he talked on – and we'll get our chance to talk to him coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. The idea of Wrestler maybe getting into one of those tiers, one of those aprons. I just seems to me like, man, we're going to do all this stuff in the offseason when the Eastern Conference is wide open and we're not – we're going to say, oh, but no, we can't do that. We can't get to that number. Can't go beyond that. You know what I mean? That to me seems a bit disingenuous for a fan base which is starving for something more than a play-in game.
No, we are. You know, I guess the real question there is, once the offseason is done or as you're moving through it, do you feel like you're building a championship-caliber team? And if you do, then, Mike, the money is the money. Like, you just do what you have to do. I don't feel like they thought over the last few years that this team was a championship-caliber team. And therefore, he wasn't willing to go there, even though we've been told numerous times by Steve Koonin and others in this organization that the owner is willing to do whatever it takes. I love that, but we haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, and this goes back to, and I apologize for repeating myself on this, it's the chicken and the egg. I mean, it's how do you – two ways. There's two ways of doing things. And if you do it the wrong way in the NBA, you're dead.
Yep.
And that's where you spend yourself into oblivion, and the cap number becomes insane. Look at the Suns. Suns are dead in the water now. Suns are going to try to, you know, cobble something together, and it's going to be something which will probably be the 10th best team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, because it sets you back.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can, if you do it right, throw money at something to fix something. I mean, to me, the argument is flimsy. To say we're doing the bare minimum, and then if you want to point and look at Oklahoma City, we look at Oklahoma City. Yeah, Oklahoma City nailed it. They did it the old-fashioned way. The Pacers did it the old-fashioned way. They brought in guys, you know, like Obi Toppin in trades. They brought in guys like Siakam. But and that's the right way to do it. You know, supplementing a really well-built nucleus with free agents, right, or trade. But you still, I mean, but to say all of a sudden, well, that's the way. Well, then if that's the way you want to do it, trade Trae Young and let's start from scratch, and you go nail those draft picks, then you can be Oklahoma City.
Well, look, this year, I'll give you an example. Brooklyn, with the trades that have been made, they've got 5 picks tonight.
Right.
In the first round.
Right. The after Durant effect.
I don't know if there are 5 guys that they could go get in this draft that is going to rebuild the Brooklyn Nets into a championship contender, okay? And the point that Mike's making is it's not one draft and it's not just one player. It's you got to complement this. And look, Sam Presti's the best general manager in basketball right now, hands down. It's not even close because he's done this twice.
Right.
He had one championship run. That got dismantled because of greed. He said, cool, we'll do it another way. And they've built another championship team that may have a dynasty run in them. I just don't know, Mike, if Brooklyn, that's the example tonight. They got 5 first-round picks. They're going to pick 5 guys tonight and go, well, we're starting over. Well, you better hope one of those guys is a star because you don't know what you're getting.
Well, I mean, we've got 3-4 starters in 7 years through the draft, if you count Reese Hoshea.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, as we know, we traded DeAndre Hunter. Trey's still here from the 2018 swap with Luka. But Onyeka Okongwu from 2020, Jalen Johnson from 21, nobody from 22, Kobe Bufkin from 23 is on the roster. So, I mean, you know, if you want to say that, and again, we also went through multiple general managers too now. We're on our third general manager, you know, since 2021. So three different visions, technically.
Oh, yeah, it is. 8, 19, 22, 26, 27. Not 1, 2, 4, 8. 8, 19, 22, 26, 27. That's the picks for the Nets tonight for Brooklyn.
Wow. Look, I love Jalen. Okongwu we like. By the way, now, real quick, Okongwu has a 4. And Jalen is as a 3. I mean, the interchangeable basketball? I mean, do you like the idea of Okongwu just being like a power forward?
Yeah, look, I think that term is loosely used.
I mean, I know we say 4.5, you know what I mean?
No, but I'll say this. When you talk about power forwards, Mike, I think about Karl Malone.
Right.
There are no Karl Malones in the league anymore.
No. Okay. No, that style of play is just not
there.
So
when we say power forward, it's misleading. What I would tell you is
they can grab boards, but, you know, with Kristaps Porzingis here, different role.
Stretch 4, who can guard?
Right.
And when I say guard, I'm talking about guard a 3, a 4, or a 5.
Right.
I'm not asking Okongwu to go guard. Pick your point guard.
Yeah.
New York's guard, right?
Yeah, not taking Brunson.
He's not guarding Brunson. But right. If you can go guard 3, 4, and 5 and shoot the 3, that's what the 4 is now in the NBA.
Right.
We're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into. 4th and 1's on the way. I don't think he was lying. Shots were fired, and when he said it at the time, we were like, oh, he's got his feelings hurt. I don't know about that. We'll fill you in on that and much more of what's going on around the league next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.